Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Bella. Oh, wow. I'm your host, Bella.
Where do I look? This one? Sorry.
And I'm Linda, and we're in a new studio, so we're getting used to everything, and we're really excited. We have an amazing show to go over and some fun. There was a, you know, the Tucker Carlson Putin interview, which we both watched, and we have a lot to say about that. Because if you remember, if you watched our show from the beginning, on the third episode, we actually interviewed a journalist that has spent time in Afghanistan as well as Ukraine in the actual war in the front lines. And a lot of we actually got some people that kind of a lot of people were upset, obviously, because the guy was very moderate and he was talking about the neo-Nazis and everything that's actually going on in Ukraine, the truth. But we also had a lot of people that loved the interview because it took us a while to hunt down this guy to mm-hmm. for him to actually agree to come on the show because they're so scared of the repercussions of saying anything negative against.
Well, in fact, the only reason why he agreed to do our show is because he was no longer in Donbass.
Left. Yeah, he was in the UK.
Yeah. And if you guys want to see that episode, we actually didn't even post it on YouTube. You'd have to go over to our Rumble channel and you can watch that.
Right, yeah.
But very used to what we're normally used to, which is God forbid that you're ahead of the curve
right.
or that you have intuition or that you're any good at research. We had identified the Nazi situation occurring out of Ukraine very early on in the conflict. And we got a lot of heat for pointing it out. And I'd say that the interview was to some degree like vindication because there is Putin talking about exactly what we believe to have been the escalation from the very beginning. But we're going to talk about the interview. We're going to talk about the special committee that said that our commander in chief, our commander in chief is not fit. What was it that they said?
That he was too old.
Too old.
Right. He didn't get any criminal charges for the classified documents that they found next to his Corvette at his house. And they actually said on the brief that he was too old and that he was going to be well into his 80s. And that when he wasn't even actually cognitively there, that he didn't even remember when his son died. He didn't remember when he was vice president. Yeah. So we'll cover that too. And also, the Supreme Court was ruling over the Colorado case that wants to keep Trump off the ballot. And I don't think it's going well for the lawyer, the person that put forth this lawsuit, which is obviously traced back to dark money. It's not going well for them because even the left wing, the liberal justices are kind of like, you're a dumbass. You're a dumbass. So that's that. And let's see.
Also, you might see some pissed off people on. Linda has been doing what Linda does best, which is pissing off people on Twitter. And as a result, there are some very upset red pill bros in the chat.
No, I don't even think they're red pill bros. They're like just. What are these people called? Black-pilled bros. They're black-pill bros. So, like, they're super racist. They hate women. They hate everybody.
Oh, they really hate us.
They're threatening to, like, you know, collapse. Society is going to collapse because all men are going to walk away. When that happens, like, women are just going to be fucked. Civilization is going to be fucked. And they just fantasize on, they fantasize about hurting women. And you know what's funny is that no one really started beef with these people except for them, which is weird because now they're playing victim. Mm-hmm. They're playing victim. No, look at them. No hymen, no diamond. That's so fucking funny. Well, why don't you show them your diamond? I mean, why are you even here?
I mean, it's fine. These people live at home with their mom, the majority of them. They're clearly in some kind of like Discord group, which tells me that you guys spend significant amount of time on the internet with no life. It's great. It's great that you guys are here pumping up our views. Thank you for being here. And
the losers of the fucking internet, bro. Like, for real.
What is your body count? All right, guys. So let's discuss. Why don't we start off with Putin interview? Why don't you guys tell us in the chat how many of you actually got an opportunity to watch the Putin Tucker interview?
Well, let me see. We're going to have to put a moderation because they are flooding our.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see.
All right. So let's talk about a few of the highlights that came out of the Tucker and Putin interview. So number one was definitely, I mean, at least for me, the confirmation that it was about the Nazis, and the Tucker seemed like so shocked. It's always so.
He had his Tucker face, which is why I chose that face on the cover of the show. He had this like face of confusion where he really didn't know what, why. Because Putin starts off the interview with history. And it goes back to like Mother Russia and the Soviet Union and the founding and all this stuff. And then you can see that Tucker just has absolutely no idea why he's taking that route, why he's going down the historic route, until he makes an interruption and says, are you trying to go down this route of history to say that at some point Ukraine was part of Russia, mm-hmm. and Donbass was part of Russia, and so what you're fighting is about territory? But the question is, if you've known this from day one, if you if it was about territory, then why did it take you 24 years to try to invade Russia? I mean, or Ukraine. And so Tucker doesn't really understand. Why don't we just turn off the chat?
What? No, we're not going to turn off the chat because our fans are on there, but forget it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought you were like fighting them. I'm like, I don't really care. They could just.
Don't turn off the chat because
no, I'm that's just where trying to go.
At.
I mean, just imagine how sad that you are, that you're spending your night just like fighting women on the internet and just being racist and calling them fat. And saying, you can't even afford a diamond. The saddest part about this is that you cannot afford a diamond. You'll never be able to afford a diamond because all of you guys are broke people, you could tell. Anyways, I mean, I don't even know who's here from our people. Let me see. Yes, we do know that's Undead Chronics fan base, TJ. That's why they're spamming. But yeah, we can get a chat moderator, sure.
Well, I mean, we're not going to get one now because we don't have anybody ahead of time.
Yeah, that's true. Just put all right. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I don't really care. Anyways, all that to say that the interview comes to kind of like, I guess, like within an hour, they finally get to the point of Putin saying that that he hasn't reached his goal. Because the end of the goal of the war was to denazify that part of Ukraine. And that hasn't happened yet because the Nazis are still there. Tucker, once again, seems confused. He's like, why is that even a problem? When Hitler has been dead for over 80 something years and Nazism isn't really a world problem. It's a very small percentage of people that are part of this ideology or are actually organized with militia groups and stuff like that. Then why is it even a problem? And it's a problem because those are the people that are actually in the ranks of the military, that are actually in the territory that they're fighting, okay? And they're actually killing the ethnic Russians in Donbass. So
I thought it was interesting when he brought up that he had had a conversation with Zelensky and that Zelensky's father had actually fought against the Nazis, and that there was a conversation that had taken place between Putin and Zelensky where he's like, how can this not be as much ad-libbing here, but how can this not be a significant enough priority to you when your father fought against the Nazis? I think that it's actually interesting to see how it's something that is being like denied, that we've watched the media cover up the Nazi situation. Like, this is something where you'd have to be going out of your way, searching for information on Twitter that eventually gets taken down. The back channels of Telegram, you might find information. That's probably the most accurate way of finding information on this.
Telegram as well. And honestly, X and Twitter, they had a lot of information. The problem was that Americans
The problem with the neo-Nazis has been there from before the war. Like, there's a lot of media coverage and actual reports from Congress, from the FBI, from the CIA, talking about the neo-Nazi problem in Ukraine in that specific area. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a kept secret, like most people knew about it. The problem was that when the war started, then they covered it up. And there was a point in time, don't forget, that Facebook actually said that people would be allowed to post about the what was it called? The Azov Battalion. The
Correct.
Azov Battalion. Correct. That it was going to be allowed because we were fighting on the side of Ukraine. So they basically even indirectly told you that Nazism and neo-Nazis are okay as long as it's on the side of the
side of exactly. that they want it to exactly. be fought on, which exactly. they won't even. It's incredible that you know, Israel isn't making any comment about this, or even better, Florida's Randy Fine doesn't have anything to say about the Nazis in Ukraine.
Well, and that was Putin's point, which Zelensky is a Jew himself. He's Jewish, and
Correct.
His father fought against fascism and Nazis back in, I don't know when it was. And so, but it all wraps up when Putin says, I don't really think it's not that Zelensky, it's that Zelensky is another puppet. He doesn't call him a puppet, but he alludes to that. And he was basically forced by the US and the European Union to be okay with Nazis within the military rank,
correct.
Within the police, within Congress, within everything. And he also deceived his voters because when he won in a landslide, he promised that he was going
to be like anti-war, that he was going to end the war.
Correct.
And he
correct.
Did quite the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. Which, and how often does Ukraine have their elections? Because then one has to wonder, like, what's the popularity with Zelensky amongst his population in Ukraine?
What's the what?
What is the what? Like, what's his popularity like with Zelensky?
Zelensky,
what is his approval rating looking like right now amongst his own citizens that voted for him? Being that he ran on the idea that he was anti-war, that he was not going to support any wars, he was going to pull him out of wars, and he did quite the opposite, right?
I mean, well, he's a fascist. He's banned a bunch of media. He made the Orthodox Christian Church illegal, the Russian Orthodox mm-hmm. Christian Church. So he has essentially banned freedom of religion in Ukraine, banned any opposition media, and he uses war powers to do all this stuff. So even when you bring this up to the Americans, they'll say, yeah, but it's a time of war. And it's a time of war, then he should be allowed to ban certain media, to ban the Russian Orthodox Church. So his citizens can't really stand up against them at all. Like, his approval rating will never really know, because how could they voice their opinion?
Right, when dissidents are punished.
Exactly.
When they're being punished. What was hilarious is Tucker and all of, you know, his residue of Fox Nation left behind, the fear of China. China, China, China. But aren't you concerned with China?
Right.
Isn't China like the biggest superpower?
Right.
And Putin flat tells him, like, no, I'm not worried about China. They're actually very peaceful people, and their powers continue to grow. So they are, in fact, very powerful. His biggest threat was the United States, that as a part of NATO allowed for this conflict mm-hmm. to escalate as it did. What was really so many things that I didn't know, right? Because mm-hmm. there were certainly before my time when he said that there had been an opportunity did he say that it was with George Bush Sr. or
he talked really well about George Bush.
He talked
actually.
Very he talked, well he talked, about George
yeah,
Bush.
He did a good job. He said that the American media painted George Bush kind of like a dumb country boy, and he was anything but that. Mm-hmm. And he briefly mentioned Trump, saying that he also had a good relationship with Trump. But I think he said this because of Trump. He said specifically, it's not about personality. It's about being able to work together. And he actually talked about the world being divided right now, because it's true. You have
yes.
the BRICS, you have India, you have China, you have Russia, African countries, also countries in the Middle East, all working together now cohesively in peace, or at least pretending to.
Yeah.
And then you have the Western nations, which is really like US, Canada,
I guess you'd say, I don't even think Mexico wants, I think Mexico wants to be part of the BRICS people. And then obviously the European countries.
There was
European
definitely Union. The insinuation that BRICS is going to continue to grow, that and it's going to continue to be a powerhouse, and that they are going to supersede the power of the American dollar. And very interesting that he was like, I never, my intention basically, ad-libbing again, was never to tank the American dollar, was never to go after it. Mm-hmm. But what am I supposed to do when America has placed all of these sanctions on me? Right. Like, they thought that they were just going to sanction Russia out of the global process of that everybody else gets to apply. And I don't know, again, per usual, very American style, where they think that they could bully other countries into.
Well, that's what he said, that it was all about force. He didn't call it force. He called it something else. I don't know. But he was like, it's all about like pressure. Mm-hmm. Like everything that the U.S. does is about pressure.
Correct.
And forcing you to do stuff that you don't want to do. So, yeah.
A shout out to our boy, Adam. He's like, evening, ladies. It's so nice to see you two back and killing it. Per usual, Linda, I hope you're feeling better. God bless you both. Yes, Linda was sick for a while, so we couldn't. We had to move our other podcast appearance that we had. And also a shout out to Reyna coming through with a donation. Thank you, Reyna. Really appreciate it. What were some of the other highlights about the interview? Well, another thing was that they kept on talking. So, Tucker kind of brought it up, like, are you doing this? Because the narrative very much right now from the left and the right, I would say, is that there is like a power grab happening, mm-hmm. that Putin is trying to gain more territory and that this is an invasion to gain power over Ukraine. Mm-hmm. But what was interesting about the interview is that it starts off with a history lesson on where between Ukraine and Russia and why it is that he feels like that Russia is entitled to the North. Correct. Oh, well, that was probably the most controversial point that was talked about in the interview, I would say.
Right. I guess where he's like, maybe you did it when he
talked. Yeah. So Tucker asked him, who do you think is responsible for the pipeline? Who do you think is responsible for that? And he looked at Tucker and he's like, you, for sure it was you. And he's like, well, no, I was too busy. It certainly wasn't me. And he's like, well, not you, but by extension, Americans. But to me, that's the most, I mean, we already knew, at least many of us already felt that was the inclination.
Yeah.
But I thought it was pretty, I think it was a pretty substantially Erica, big deal.
I think I agree with Erica where she says that nothing really in the interview was shocking. It was just more confirmation of what has been censored. And I agree with that. I wasn't shocked about anything. Specifically, the neo-Nazi stuff. That's something that I talked about for a while. I actually stopped covering the Russia-Ukraine war back in 2021 or 2022 because it just got so annoying to have to. You know, I even had friends of mine that I really like, and they started making excuses for neo-Nazis. Like, oh, yeah, but it's only like 2% of the ranks, you know, or 3%, or, you know, correct. They're fighting for good. And out of it, it comes from this Republican post-Soviet Union Cold War era of boomer MAGA politics where, and actually Putin brought it up, where he's like, we stopped being a communist country. Like, we are a free market economy. And despite that, they still say and tell us that we're a communist country. We're not. We do have certain, you know, laws or things that your countries may not disagree with. But we're not a communist country. We are a free market economy. And you guys keep lying about that. The other point, I think something really interesting that Tucker said, something super interesting that Tucker said, was when they started talking about the Orthodox Christian Church, what they had in common with the Ukrainians, and also the supernatural.
Yes.
When he brought up, because Putin basically in a very polite diplomatic way.
In a very diplomatic way,
said something like, well, Russians, like in our side of the world, we care more about like the afterlife.
Correct.
Like we have, in a way, he was trying to say, like, we are a moral society and you're a degenerate society that only cares about money, capitalism, and degeneracy. And I don't understand your American system. That was the thing that he said about the elections. Like, I just don't understand your system. So when he's talking about, you know, we care more about the afterlife. We care more about morality than you Americans do. They got into this conversation about the supernatural and religion and whatnot. And I thought it was interesting when Tucker started asking him about, do you believe that there's like
darker forces,
right? Like that type of questions. I thought that was interesting because he said no. He's like, no, like I think Putin wanted to like reel it back.
He wanted to reel it back. He didn't, but well, because he knew what it was going to turn into, a soundbite, right? Like Putin's very smart with that. And he knows that if he goes in there and he's like, oh yeah, it's very much, I would just think that he was trying to hold back from like the idea of the soundbite and knowing that that's what people were going to go after. Right. I did think that it was interesting when he made the comment about George Bush, where he's like, yeah, I got along with him. I also got along with Trump, but that's not a factor. Like that wasn't, that had personally getting to know somebody or liking somebody isn't a factor.
Yeah, it's not a personality thing. And he spent more time on Bush, honestly. Someone here, oh my God, someone in the comments, this is funny, says, hi, Linda. Talk about the Florida Senator shutting down and the pictures that, wait, what the hell? What can I see the rest of the, okay, down and the nude pictures that were Preston Parra's leak of Will Witt. Oh my God. Oof. Well, yeah, like this is,
there's a lot to unpack there. Number one, are we shocked about the Florida standard? No, we knew that the minute that DeSantis's campaign hit the shitter, that was going to be the end of the Florida standard, of the influencers, of the shilling, that we were done. There's a lot of these influencers that are going to be fueled with hate for forever because they were never conservatives to begin with. They were never Trump supporters. They were never Republicans. They were just anti-Trumpers. Yeah. They were going to do whatever it took, fueled just like the left, fueled by their hate for Donald Trump.
Yeah. So the Florida Standard was basically a publication from Florida that Will Witt, that he was a big personality at PragerU, was like, he was the founder and owner. And like, it was a thing, like people knew that the money came from DeSantis mega donors who were just literally creating this shell media company. That's really what it was. It was a shell company to just push propaganda, like pro DeSantis propaganda, and attack Trump. What I thought was kind of like just a turnoff for me is that nobody wanted to attack Will Witt. Like I had side conversations with like bigger creators and influencers that I'm like, you do realize that this is a fake company. Like we're essentially seeing the beginning of these fake right wing media companies that are just going to push a candidate over another. And
I think one of the most telling things about it was that it didn't matter how far you went in with the research. And we went very far into the research to follow the money when it came.
And people
to
were
the
like,
Florida
no, like you have to like, who cares? Like we're all going to unite after the primaries and Will Witt shouldn't be called out. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, here's my thing. Like, it doesn't matter whether it's your like left or right. It doesn't matter. Like fake media needs to be exposed.
Correct.
And it doesn't matter if it's Will Witt or Senk from the, you know, whatever liberal, I forgot where he is, the Young Turks, or like, it doesn't matter. Like, we should be able to talk about it, but everybody wanted to keep it under wraps. And essentially what ended up happening was that when the DeSantis campaign started crashing down, they just announced that they were shutting down the Florida Standard, and that was the end of it. And that's it. Like that show company went away. And then he talks also about some leaked pictures of Will Witt, some nudes that were leaked of Will Witt. And like, I don't know what to say. Like, I'm sure he sent them to a chick. I don't think that he's, you know, they made up a rumor that he was like a whore, like a prostitute or something. Like, I don't believe that.
No, I don't believe that.
I don't believe that at all. I think that he sent it to a chick, you know, just being naughty. And she leaked it. And, you know, he's a famous person and that's that, you know?
You shouldn't be a coomer sending nudes to yourself when you're a famous person and people are going to come after you. Oh, but, the pictures, he looks a lot younger. They're older pictures. Like, you can tell that it's just somebody coming around.
Right, exactly.
The thing with the standard was that even when flat out they would be asked, like, where is the funding coming from this? Like, they went out of their way to keep it a secret, which is they didn't want people to know who was funding the Florida Standard, which made it right. even more weird, because all they did was pushed out propaganda in favor of Ron DeSantis. And I think that just like the inorganicness of it all that we saw with the Florida Standard, we saw a lot with the online campaign that Linda and I have been calling out for some time. Mr. Walton writes in our comments with a 1999 donation. Thank you, sir. All right. You were right about everything. I know my place now. I apologize. I got emotional over the facts. It happens to the best of us, but normally it happens to me and Linda a lot.
A lot. Honestly. Yeah. Like, we're not a big podcast. We don't have a big channel. We're not, you know, freaking famous or whatever, but I will tell you this, and it's something that we told our followers when we first started again, it's that you guys are probably more informed than a lot of people, because we do actual research, and a lot of our research isn't necessarily like inflammatory. Like, we don't, not a lot of times is where we're gonna have like very, you know, polarizing views, and that really is what drives the content, right? Like, think about the content and think about the people that are very, very popular. A lot of times they're very polarizing. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not hating on anybody. But like, if you want to actually say the truth and even piss off your side and take very moderate positions on things that will piss everyone off like we do, you're not going to be the most popular fucking person. It's just the reality. We've talked about it.
And well, it's a time where media is very, everything is very polarized right now when it comes right. to media. And it's like, if you're not feeling with very extreme views, whether they're like right. far right or far left, mostly when it comes to creating content on the right, mm-hmm. if you're not fueled by very extreme views, then, it's very hard to, I'm going to say, not get the attention of people, because people listen to our stuff.
Still listen like, to our stuff.
You know, there's harder. A reason why characters like Alex Stein have right. Donors and big budgets that are behind them. And people, not just Linda and I as content creators, but people like us that share opinions like us don't, right?
Sorry guys, I'm a little cold. Sorry, guys, I'm a little cold. But yeah, I mean, I think that I want to see how people react on the internet for the Tucker interview. I already saw before it even started that mm-hmm. liberals and neocons, but particularly liberals, were, you know, very stressed out about the misinformation campaign. And this is Russian propaganda. And they're talking about potentially sanctioning even Tucker Carlson because... Yep. You know, he's talking to an enemy of America, so they say. But this is real journalism. Like, you know, somebody brought up when Barbara Walters, there were a few journalists who interviewed Maduro, who interviewed Fidel yes. Castro,
yes.
who interviewed Gaddafi. I mean, you know, this is what real journalism should be. Like, journalists should be going. Like, it was a thing back in the day when journalists were literally going to war zones and were risking their lives to bring us, you know, content and interviews from world dictators
journalism, or, and it was like real, like global exactly. coverage. Well, one of the things that Putin said in the interview was that there was no true media anymore, mm-hmm. that it was all American propaganda, mm-hmm. yeah. that worldwide coverage of media just doesn't exist anymore. There's no true, honest journalism. Mm-hmm. He said that it's all an arm of propaganda, because Tucker had asked him, Why not use the Nazi conversation? Was it? I think it was a Nazi conversation as a way to create propaganda around. And he's like, what propaganda am I going to create when all of me, who's going to like, and it's the truth. Who's going to cover any of Putin's anything?
Yeah. Why would they?
Why would they?
If you even remotely talk good about Putin, or you have positive views about Putin, even now, like within the conservative movement or anything, from either side, it's not a conservative.
How did we get treated when the war started?
Oh,
when
really
we were bad. Like, listen,
when we were trying to be like unbiased, just reporting, like straight up reporting, like we weren't saying we're pro Russia, pro Ukraine. We're just straight up reporting. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
we lost friends.
We lost friends. Like we lost friends.
We had people that honestly got into fights with us. And they were like, you guys, ironically, accused us of being anti-Semites for supporting
Russia. Oh, that's right. Yeah. When we tried explaining. Yeah, exactly. You know, that was funny. That was a funny moment.
That was a funny moment in time. Sometimes we like to like go back to like our old screenshots and remember like old moments. Last week, we spent like an hour laughing on the phones.
What was it?
We were talking about 2020 when Nancy Pelosi and her gang of goons dressed up in the African garb and took a knee in the Capitol building.
That's literally my favorite picture of all time. Like, I wish we had it so we could show it to them.
In the top
it was
tier.
After 2020, and then they were doing some sort of like BLM like ritual or like. It was like, what was it? Like after George Floyd?
It was after Floyd. They took a knee for Floyd.
They had an African garment on top of them. There it is. They kneeled. But the thing about it was that it was during COVID. So they had like little markings on the floor. And it was like they had the 6 feet in between every single member.
Do you guys remember this moment in history?
Do you remember this moment in history? I mean,
do you guys remember?
Like,
I mean, this is top. This is comedy.
This is iconic.
This is top. Tier comedy that we experienced this in 2020.
This is one of my favorite parts of 2020, if I may say. This is one of my favorite parts of 2020.
I laughed so hard. This week, we actually, Linda and I laughed for an entire hour remembering this. This was a crucial moment. This was a crucial moment. You know what else was a crucial moment? You know what else lives rent-free in my time, in my mind?
Which moment?
Hold on.
Yeah, 2020 summed up in one photo. It was so embarrassing. Oh my God, that moment. Yeah.
Do you remember this moment?
What was that? Was like 2021, I think.
If you guys remember, we definitely posted about this. Do you guys remember the Miami New Times article? Do you guys remember this article by the Miami New Times? What is wrong with these people? We can't even post it because Lord knows. But very funny times indeed. Very funny times indeed being in these circles. Very funny.
Oh my God, that story was removed. Oh no, that was another screenshot of yours. Okay, guys, before we go on, please don't forget to like our video and share it. I should have advertised this earlier. We messed up big time. Now we know for next time.
I mean, I'm banned everywhere. Yeah, well, Truth Social. People on Truth Social know we're here. I'm banned everywhere except True Social, where I too am hated. TikTok. I'm almost as hated as you are on Twitter, just that, you know, smaller numbers.
Today is that I swear to God, like, I don't want to speak bad of men because we're trying to cover politics and like not go down this route. But just like, for example, the situation with the trolls that were here like earlier today, they're mad over a meme that I made that had nothing to do with the guy, but the guy took it personal.
So it's the actual guy and his gang that are mad? It's the actual guy?
No. He doesn't even know that guy in the picture.
Oh, interesting.
He doesn't even know that guy at all. He just took it personal. And then he lied and said, you want me to die at a war. And then I posted under, just being facetious and like just being funny, a picture of Griselda Blanco. And I said, yes, you should. And I'm sorry, but it's fucking hilarious. And like, they took it so personal that they made an entire 2-hour video crying about me. They thought it was her and it was really me. And then they're crying about it, saying that I wanted them to die at war because they want to have standards. And the whole thing was just so funny, but they were so triggered. So fucking triggered.
I don't even have access to Twitter, but I'm pissing off plenty of people too. Actually, I pissed off a bunch of boomers on Truth Social because I called Kat Turd a misogynist. Because I'm not sure if you saw a couple of days ago,
right. This
video of a young girl, and she's talking about how she makes $2,000 a month and her rent is $1,600, yes. And she doesn't have money to live. And we've seen a lot of videos like this. And I posted, and his response to that, which is why we even cover the red pill stuff to begin with. Right. Cause this stuff it genuinely does not affect me in my day-to-day life. I'm married. For those trolls on the chat that don't know, I'm married. So hymen or whatever it is that you guys are talking about.
The guy said that
does not affect me.
The guy that said that that you knew because he put your picture, the video that came down, the smaller video you didn't get to see, it was like 6 minutes long, that you knew you had fucked up and never gotten married. So you were not like, he made it all about that.
Oh, about me not being married and single?
He was talking about how you knew at this point in your life that you had fucked up, by not getting a ring. And so like, that's what you were mean on the internet.
It's a good thing that I met my husband when I was like 19 years old.
And I was like, guys, wait, I'm the one that's mean on the
but
internet.
But it's me. It's not me that's being mean, but it's okay. I can take it. It really doesn't bother me at all. I've heard worse. And it's okay. It's really not that serious because I don't live on the internet like you people do. I have a real life and a husband and a whole life. But to the point that I was going to make, which is that I pissed off people on Truth Social because I posted this screenshot of Katjard responding to that young girl.
Oh my God,
and he's like, stop whining, get in the kitchen and make me a sandwich. The girl is clearly about 20 years old. Katjard has to be in retirement
Katjard
age.
It's literally 65, 70,
something
along.
Has to be literally in his 60s, yeah. If he's not like already 60, there. So it was, I called it out because it's clear that this is all gearing up to become mainstream conversation within the conservative circles, the conservative political circles that we've been a part of for the last 8 years. Mm-hmm. So this is where the problem comes in. And I mean, it's not a problem, but it's why we talk about the red pill in the manosphere at all, is because we see the creation of a PSYOP brewing leading into the 2024 elections. And we've been sounding the alarm on this already for several months.
Which we talked about last week.
Which we've sounded the alarm on this several months. And I want to remind everyone that this time, 2020, things were normal. There was no COVID. There was no BLM riots. Yeah. So there is still significant time for things to develop, as we are saying, which is that there's going to be a PSYOP being ran to alienate women, particularly women voters, which are who is most involved in the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. The conversation around appealing the 19th is always very interesting to me because these men will say, well, I don't feel right calling them men, but these men will say we need to repeal a woman's right to vote. But the very interesting thing is that you wouldn't have to repeal anybody's right to vote if statistically you guys just showed up to vote. Men don't show up to vote as often as women do. So if men prioritize their civic duty of being an American, then we wouldn't have to repeal anybody's right to vote because your vote would outnumber the female vote. But God forbid that you take any accountability and that you recognize that there are things that you can actually do, that you can meet with legislators, that you can, Fresh and Fit makes a lot of money on their channels and they can go into their channel and raise money and say, you know what, we're going to lobby a politician because we want the family court laws to be rewritten, or we want legislation to protect men against what's the money? Alimony or whatever it is. But you all don't do that because it's so much easier to just cry online on a YouTube channel of 8,000 followers. Like how are we a threat to you? How are we seriously that much of a threat to you? We're two little old fat, whatever you guys call us, call ICE on us, little immigrants, little old fat immigrants.
They're going to call an immigrant, or a person that was born here.
For starters, How are we a threat to you? This is what's hilarious. You guys lose your shit. This is how we know that you don't have anything of actual importance going on, because people of actual importance have other things to do with their lives than to argue with somebody that's significant. For what?
Yeah, I think.
For what? Like a meme?
I really like what this guy said. Spring Heel Jack. Racial identitarians lost. The divide will be between sexes and urban and rural. I agree with that. I agree with that. I also think that there's a lot of racists on Twitter. There's a lot of racists on Twitter. And I'm not going to cry about it. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. You cannot, if you're one of these people who identifies as a white nationalist or white pride, or you want to conserve the white race because it is being replaced and because, actually white people are a very small minority worldwide. Mm-hmm. That is actually a fact. So you care about your race. I understand all this stuff. But here's the thing. You cannot say that you're proud of the white race, what he has accomplished, how they conquer over the third world, right? They came over this way, blah, blah, blah. Because white men came to this side of the world, right? And they decided to mix races. they decided to mix races on their own.
We are a product.
Here. We're a product because white people, white men decided to
stay away from
indigenous women,
the Consuelos,
and black women.
Consuelas, or whatever they call us.
And so, so you hate us because we're fucking brown and you think we're ugly or whatever it is. But like, really, it was like your ancestors who decided to, you know, engage in sexual acts with who, you know, our ancestors as well. And so here we are in 2024. And like, what are you going to do about it? You know, you cannot say that you're proud of your, I'm so proud of my race. I'm so proud of my race and what it has accomplished, which has been great architecture, all this stuff. And then also be upset at fucking mixed Latinas and mixed white people. Like, go to Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Cartagena, Colombia, Cuba, and you're going to find the same Spanish architecture in every single one of those countries. Go to Panama, you're going to find the same type of architecture. All of them coming from the Spaniards, all of them coming from the Portuguese, yada, yada, yada. So the Mexicans, it was the French. You can actually find a French castle right now in Mexico City because the French went to Mexico. And so, you know, I don't, this is right. We were talking about it the other day. I'm like, you're so mad at these brown people, but like your race is the one that created us. Like we could have still been in like teepees, I guess, you know, doing child sacrifice and pyramids, but you know, the white men decided to come here. So these are the consequences, I guess, makes ugly Mexican taquitos.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Hey.
That's, you know what it is.
I want to talk to a moment because we haven't really talked about it. I spoke about it briefly today on True Social, which is the Taylor Swift psyop. Taylor Swift is obviously a psyop. Mm-hmm. We all know it, that Taylor Swift is a psyop.
Yeah.
However, so today on the radio in the morning show, the guy was like, oh, you know, oh, there's people on the internet that believe that Taylor Swift is a psyop, yeah, and that she is going to, that her and what's Kelsey are going to come out and they are both going to endorse Biden, and that that's the psyop, and that the people that do this. And in my head, it's like, that's what everybody's writing about, that the psyop is that Kelsey, that they're going to come out and they're going to support Joe Biden, and that's the biggest psyop. When in reality, we know that Taylor doesn't really have that kind of influence to shift her voting block because she's already tried to do this before. We know that she has the influence to be able to register people, which is good. Yeah. But there's a lot of her fan base, which, by the way, to all you people that think that her fan base is just 12-year-olds, Taylor's fan base is predominantly made up of women that are either made up with women or gays of millennial age. And the second largest generation group are actually boomers that support Taylor Swift. So take that. Now, the majority of her fans will not take her opinion to any value when deciding who to vote for. Now, here's what I see. My perspective is with the Taylor Swift thing and what I actually see is happening here. Ana Navarro, and I sent it to you the other day, I should have posted it up. Ana Navarro posted on her page and it's like, Taylor Swift registers people to vote and asks for kindness. Republicans can't stand it and they're losing their shit about it. As a result of, which is what I believe that the ultimate psyop is, right?
What?
Paint conservatives, have Taylor Swift do nothing, basically, because up to this point, she's done nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Have Taylor Swift do nothing. Have Republicans be absolutely vile to her because it's what we've seen. We've seen them make fun of her for being over 30, for being childless, for being ugly. Mm-hmm. Everything except her politics. In fact, Ben Shapiro went as far as to say that his biggest problem with her wasn't her politics. It was that she was over 30 and childless. This kind of rhetoric, once again, alienates women from our party. I know we said it last time and we're going to repeat it, and we'll probably be repeating it in every single show from now until the election. Republicans need every single vote that they can get to win. You might look at me and you might think you're not conservative enough. You're not a real Republican. And I will look you dead in your face and say, I do not care. Yeah. I vote Republican for my reasons.
We have two choices. We're not going to change anything between now and November.
And November.
We're not going to change anything. Women are going to vote. Blacks are going to vote. Jews are going to vote. Trannies are going to vote. I don't know if I can say that. I'm so sorry. You know, the LGBT community is going to vote. Everyone's going to vote.
And nobody's going to do anything about it because we're all about it. And what you should be doing is that you should be wanting people that vote with aligned with your party. Yeah. Because a lot of you people that want Christian-aligned legislation to be passed, have to understand that there's porn stars out there that vote Republican because they want lower taxes. Mm-hmm. And those Republican representatives that are getting elected because of the vote of porn stars too and very bad people, because I don't know where the idea comes out that somehow being a Republican absolves you of any wrongdoing and that you must be a good person because you identify as a Republican. I hate to break it to you people, but there are very bad people that also vote Republican for very selfish reasons, because they want to pay lesser taxes or because they've got some kind of deal behind the table that they're working on with some kind of representative. You don't know that.
Right.
So what I see happening with the Taylor Swift PSYOP is that it's an extension of the attack on women, which is if they can paint Republicans as just being absolutely nasty. Look at how they treat Taylor Swift. She hasn't even done anything. She hasn't even endorsed a president. All she's done, they call her, they hate the party that hates women. Look at how they treat her because she's single. Look at how they treat her because she's childless. They're creating this, which lines up perfectly with the narrative that we've seen hyped up from the RP manosphere that, by the way, has been around for decades. This is why Rolo Tomasi is so bitter about everything. For those of you that don't know who Rolo Tomasi is, he's a self-proclaimed godfather of the red pill. The reason why he's obsessed is because he's been pumping out this content for the last 20 years and nobody has cared. Nobody has cared until what I believe the timeline goes back to the overturning of Roe v. Wade, when all of a sudden Andrew Tate pops up and he's the most popular thing to show up ever since sliced bread. It's inorganic. It's not organic. And when you see that, it lines up that the entire election is going to be about the women's right to choose, whether or not Donald Trump is a grape, it was involved in grape or not. People are leaning over to the right and they're watching people like Candace Owens that now can't stop talking about revoking a woman's right to vote, which once again is not going to happen. You guys can sit here and argue all of the 3,000 reasons why you think that a woman should not vote. And it doesn't change the fact that there's an election coming up in less than a year.
And women are still going
to
vote.
And women are still going to vote.
I mean, you don't have to vote if you're a woman if you don't want to. You can vote with your husband. Like, you can also do that, right? Like, for all these trads that are upset about it. And I think the problem, too, is that a lot of these women, the pick me's that go along with this narrative of like, yeah, I'm going to shit on other women. I think a lot of the problem is that, number one, they do want attention from people online, for a fact. It's really... it's actually very lucrative right now to be anti-women. It's very like misogyny, being a, and I'm not just calling misogynistic anybody that has a criticism on women. I'll be the first one to say, like, you know, I've said it before, like with the hair stuff, like women are competitive and they do fucked up shit. Like, they're not girls, girls. They don't help each other.
They can be evil. Some of them are actual demons.
Like, we can literally go down the list of like all of the bad, you know, features or qualities of female nature. But it is very lucrative, as you guys have seen with all these podcasts, with whatever, with Fresh and Fit, with Pearl, with Rolo Tomasi, with Andrew Tate. It is very lucrative to be a misogynist. And really, like, what's the worst thing that could happen? You get demonetized or something with
well, I mean,
you know, on YouTube. But all that to say, it's like, you can post content that you want. All that to say is that it's gearing up to the election. Why? I mean, you saw Biden. We're not making this up. What was Biden's campaign slogan? Overturned Roe or
Overturned
Save Roe, Roe, yeah, save or Roe. Something about Roe. You know, we see Kamala go through Kamala Harris's Twitter feed right now. Every other tweet, it's about abortion and women's right to vote. So you can see it everywhere that it's all about that.
There's a meme page right now.
Restore Roe. It's what it was. That's, you guys are right. Restore Roe. That's exactly what it was. And again, there's nothing that we can do from now to the election. If men and women want to organize to revoke a woman's right to vote, because really it's just a talking point to be edgy, because there's nothing right now anywhere. There's no effort. There's no campaign. There's no civil rights.
There's not even a candidate.
There's no one, exactly. There's not even a person in Congress or anywhere that it's talking about it, or a proposition or a law or anything coming down the pipeline, but it's just a talking point for triggering people.
It's just for triggering emotions and also to drive this narrative that we feel is inorganic. And our biggest concern, the RP really wouldn't even be an issue for me if it wasn't that every single time I opened up any app, it's always being pushed on me, which is why I even know what it is. And also, more importantly, it really wouldn't be an issue if I didn't have to worry. Like this week alone, I told Linda, it's like Pearl has been on, of course, on Alex Stein and on the Hodge twins. Mm-hmm. Why are these conservative political voices giving any kind of space to this filth, this woman who talks about other women with so much hate, which is fine. You're entitled to hate women. You're entitled to be a misogynist. I love this country and I want everybody's right to be able to say what they want or whatever it is. But you don't have the right to use my content to do that. Just to be clear, you can create your own content. You don't need to use our content for that. But for this woman to come out, hate all women and not care about politics, because Pearl doesn't care about politics at all. She doesn't see the bigger picture of alienating women right before a vote and how it is that that's important. How do we get conservatives to understand that, number one, Linda and I have drawn, I think we've drawn a line in the sand at this point where one thing that the conversation that we continue to bring up over the last few weeks is we don't want to be associated with the Republican Party anymore. We don't want to be, we vote Republican because it's the party that most closely represents our values. We don't want to be associated with the party anymore because it's become very cringe. It doesn't represent, for the same reasons that, at least speaking for myself personally, when I saw the left, when I saw the Democratic Party go so far left that I could no longer be identified with it, is why I even went to the Republican Party to begin with, because they went so far left that they alienated me. And now our party has gone so far right that I feel alienated as a result. So I do feel politically homeless. But I think that Republicans don't know that part of what we've seen, there was an opportunity. I don't see them capitalizing on that opportunity, but there was an opportunity there where there were feminists that were looking at the Democratic agenda to push the transgender ideology on everybody as the ultimate form of patriarchy. They were ready to vote Republican because Republicans were the ones defending women's spaces, defending women's sports, defining what a woman was. And Democrats weren't doing that. Mm-hmm. And these are people that wore the pink hats at the parade, that maybe live very non-traditional lifestyles. Maybe they are not married and they're single, or they're dinks, or maybe they're prostitutes, or maybe they're drug dealers. Who the hell knows? But these people still vote for your party. And we're not taking advantage of that opportunity right now.
We're not.
At least I feel we're not taking advantage of that opportunity.
I don't think that we are at all. And that it is what it is. But moving on, I don't know if you guys saw today, but there was an effort, and there's still an effort coming to an end, of a lawyer backed by dark money that wanted to kick President Trump out of the ballot in Colorado for the 2024 presidential election. And today, SCOTUS, or the Supreme Court, was hearing the oral argument. And it was actually very relieving and amazing to hear Justice Kagan, someone who has always traditionally been more on the liberal side, along with even Ketanji Brown and all of the liberal justices, asking these lawyers questions that made him look really fucking stupid. Like, it made him look really dumb. Like, you guys want us to read Trump's tweets here? Like, they treated that court. It's actually embarrassing that they've tried to basically make a joke out of the Supreme Court with this whole election situation, just to keep President Trump off the ballot. And they adjourned the court today, so we don't have a decision. But so far, it may be a 9-0 ruling in favor of Trump, because that's how bad and pathetic and organized
and un-American and unconstitutional.
Yeah, yeah. That's how bad. You can't actually see it. You have to hear it. They didn't let any cameras, but you could hear the oral arguments. I'm sure if you go on YouTube, you could search, you know, the bar and see if you could. I heard some of it and I saw the tweets, and it was just hilarious because there's nothing to the case. Like, across party lines, all nine justices were kind of like, this is a waste of time. There's no case of insurrection here, and here's why. But yeah, you could actually also find it on Twitter because I saw a couple people posting it. And yeah, what was the other thing that we had? We're 15 minutes in, just so you know.
We were, the special committee deemed
that was amazing.
Our occupant in chief unfit, too old to function. He's been deemed too old to function.
So basically, I don't know if you guys remember a few months back that President Biden, there was classified documents that were found in his home, I think in Vermont or Rhode Island, wherever he's from. And next to his Corvette, that had a special committee and that was investigated. And so today, the committee actually put forward their findings and they said that they were not going to charge Joe Biden because he was basically too old and cognitively like just not there anymore. And he's like, it wouldn't be realistic to say that we're going to charge Joe Biden, even though it was negligent and even though it did actually put America's secrets and, you know, at risk of national security. This was problematic, but they're not going to charge him because he's too retarded to even function, is what it said.
He said he was very offended.
He said that?
Yeah, he said that he was offended by those statements that he was in cognitive decline.
Delaware, that's where he's from. Yeah, that's where he's from.
Allegedly.
He didn't even remember when his son died. He didn't remember when he was vice president. He had to ask someone like, can you remind me when I was vice president? I don't remember. And it just makes me think that they're going to swap him out for Michelle Obama. And it may be a Michelle Obama, not Kamala Harris. They'll take her out as well. But it may be a Michelle Obama, Gavin Newsom, or Newsom Obama.
I think we're probably, given the trend that we're seeing, the women, the defining the 2024 elections by the female vote, I can see a Michelle Obama being swapped in. And then I'm not sure if you remember, a few weeks ago, Newsom had given an interview where basically he had said like that he wouldn't run or that he would support Michelle Obama. There was something along those lines.
No, I didn't see that.
He had basically said like not him as a president. Anyways, putting all of that together, I would feel that Michelle Obama was always their Hail Mary. Like that was always their Hail Mary. And they hesitated in the 2020 elections throwing that in. But it was still something that I felt was played around with a little bit. But she was stayed on the sideline. I feel like with the 2020 elections, they felt that Obama going out and giving that last push was going to make a difference, which we know it didn't. Obama wasn't getting any audiences or anything when he was doing his endorsement, his blitz of endorsements for Joe Biden. But I can see I can see once again, if they lean into this gender war of male versus female, female being the you know, the right aligns itself with these roles that put women in this like secondary role of like a second class citizen, unfortunately, because you've got big voices that are giving space to these ideologies, these very destructive red pill ideologies. I can totally see them trying to replace a.
That's what people are saying on Twitter.
And Michelle Obama.
And there's also somebody here reacting from today's Biden news. And she says, as a former proud Democrat, I learned today that I'll be voting for Donald Trump. Her name is Jasmine, and she's the co-host of Let's Talk About It on ESPN's Sirius XM Radio and insider for the DraftKings. And so thank you guys for 10,000 followers. I just see that following that Joe Biden's getting tested. Yeah, of course, because a lot of people, this is something that I said today to somebody when I was at the gym that I hadn't seen in a very long time, which is that there was a lot of people that voted Joe Biden because they didn't really think it was going to be that bad. They genuinely thought it was going to be another Obama presidency. They didn't think things were going to go, you know, as far as like the two wars, as far as the inflation, the economy, everything, the border situation. And so they said, well, how bad could it really be? I mean, Trump, like, you know, they told us Trump was going to be horrible and the next coming of Hitler and da 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 da. So how could this be bad at all? And now they're finding out that it's really bad, worse than expected. People can't afford even to pay rent. people are defaulting on their car payments, on their loans, on their mortgages. People are homeless, more homeless than ever. There's the border.
I'm paying $13 for eggs.
Yeah, there's the crisis at the border. There's literally illegals pouring in. I just actually found out today that a Venezuelan human trafficking gang is now here because of this situation. This is a gang that traffics children, women and children, and brands them as well with tattoos. And then the, what is it called? That's the cow little,
yeah,
little
brander.
I forgot the brander. And so, what was that? That was a camera. Oh, okay. I was like, holy shit. But you know, I think that people didn't think it was gonna be that bad, and then it was that bad, and so they're now like, okay, well, we never really died during Trump. At least I could afford my mortgage.
At least I could afford my mortgage.
And so
at least the borders were closed.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And the border situation is becoming a really big problem where even liberals are seeing it and they're like, all right, we need to get this out of control. Mm-hmm. And these are the real life red pill situations that I feel only experience. Sometimes you really need to see how bad it gets before you understand just how bad it really is. Yeah. And, you know, open borders sounds great and all until you start seeing the repercussions of the open borders, where you start seeing Americans get slayed in their hometowns because people that illegally cross the border with no documentation come here and have no sort of respect for human life. And I think that when you start seeing that and when it starts happening to your neighbors and your family, it starts happening in your town, you start thinking a little bit differently. You know, I made a joke to Linda the other day, which is if Americans were smart, they would send all of the naturalized Hispanics to the border because there is nobody that is more aware of how destructive these criminals are. And by criminals, I mean the very bad people that leave the home countries that my family came from, that Linda came from. We're very well aware of how bad it is. My parents did not come from El Mariel into the United States, but they did come to the United States around the same time as El Mariel. And for those of you that are not aware, during El Mariel, Castro said, you want to go to America? No problem. I'm going to let you guys go to America. And he filled up these giant boats with all sorts of Cubans that wanted to come to America and have normal lives. But what he also did was that he opened up every single jail and he opened up every single loony bin that he could find. And he released all of those people into those same boats so that when they crossed the borders, those hardworking Cubans that were really coming over here to chase the American dream would be convoluted by criminals and psychopaths. We've seen on TikTok where this is also happening in the south of the border in Latin American countries. Mm-hmm. It's happening in other Latin American countries. And there are Latin American countries that are releasing their jails. They're releasing their criminals from jails, from their hospitals, and allowing them to cross the border. And because we are aware of that, I promise you, that Latinos have a hyper awareness of just how bad this can get because we fled from it.
Agreed. I'm trying to find more stuff on Putin, but I don't.
Somebody said the Latinos from Louisiana would bring alligators. Yeah, no, I mean, it would be a show. It would be a show to say the less.
Something else that I thought, I mean, I think tonight, Kanye West, hold on. I think tonight Kanye West is actually releasing his Vultures album. And this week he had a little rant. I think it was like 2 days ago where he basically said that he has not been allowed to perform anywhere in the United States since he called out the business people and got into a fight with the Jews. And ever since that time, he hasn't been allowed to perform because they're just trying to destroy him in every which way possible. And I think he finally found a venue, right? I'll just open up Twitter. I think he finally found a venue to launch his Vultures CD, which a lot of people are actually waiting on that. But yeah, I thought that was interesting in pop culture.
Let's talk about actual pop culture, what's happening in pop culture news, which is that MIA, let me pull up some tweets. MIA today had, wait, where did my, hold on, let me pull this up today.
Kite baby.
Let me pull these up. I want to show you guys today. So Roc Nation and Jay-Z got called out today. Again, Roc Nation and Jay-Z have been called out today by MIA. And let me actually pull this up for you guys. I want to show you her tweets, some of her tweets that she tweeted out today. So basically, rapper MIA,
you guys remember
she was big, what, like in 2018, 2016? No,
way before that. It was the Piper Planes.
It was a paper. Was that before that? No, that wasn't so. Maybe 2014, 2015. No. Planes,
MIA.
How fast is time going by?
Dude, please.
What year? No, tell me what year it is.
Stop it.
I'm just a little old lady with no eggs.
2008.
2008?
2008, kill me.
Wow, bro. Has it really literally, been that long?
Literally. Actually released in 2007.
I was vibing.
Slumdog Millionaire. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Holy shit, we're getting
so
old.
So MIA, don't let the incels hear you. We're already old. Sorry. Just a little old lady with that's no right. eggs.
Sorry.
MIA was accounting today a story that she had, and it was very much related to the actual border where she was talking about how the situation, basically, she stole, she speaks of it as being a sandwich. She says she stole food when she was younger, before she had money. And then she came up and the powers that be in the industry used that arrest to try and control her. And part of that control was that they took her daughter away from her with an immigration issue. They took away her daughter from her. And she's tweet how Roc Nation and Jay-Z had some kind of say in that. She tweets, the day I was served for my child, Roc Nation stopped all communication with me and all my emails to Jay-Z asking for help was wiped from my inbox. Mine was broken into and every laptop was taken. I was trapped in Brooklyn, an order served that restricted me leaving Brooklyn. As a mother, if you have to wait 11 months for your visa to be processed while at the same time being forced to accept this BS court order, they gave me ordering me and my son to be in. Sorry, I can't get to that part right now. She then goes on to say how it was members of the Roc Nation team that forced her son to be vaccinated. She writes, again, they vaccinated him even after calling me an anti-vaxxer and humiliating me in the press for a good 2 years and canceling my latest matter record from all promo and touring, again, sacrificing another LP, yet they still vaccinated him at 12 to get at me. And then she says that this is the person that she says vaccinated her child. She's like, Aurora James vaccinated my child without my permission. They manipulated my child by lying to a 12-year-old, pretending to be his mom, of course. It's not your own child. You don't care how you can psychologically damage a child with mental games. She is Beyonce and Solange's friend.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
You know, one of the things that stands out, because I was trying to find some of the content on this, and it's just Jay-Z's not a good guy.
No,
there is a something, lot right. of very bad and negative, and it's very similar to what we saw with P. Diddy a few months ago, where there's always rumblings within the entertainment industry that will talk about Jay-Z not being a good guy. We know that Kanye had a very historic moment where at a concert he basically says, like, my life could be in danger if I piss off Jay-Z. He's like, please don't send your goons after me. I know you got them. Like, I'm willing to talk. There's been other people that have come forward that have talked about the power that Jay-Z has over, particularly over females' careers, including Beyonce's career, that he seems like they started dating when they were very young. People speculate that he also tried to bring, and I shouldn't just say Jay-Z in coordination with Beyonce, that they tried to ruin the careers of Foxy Brown, of Rihanna, of several other people.
I didn't know the Rihanna stuff.
Rihanna was, the idea is, and what's gossiped about in the gossip blogs is that Rihanna was bullied as a result of just being successful by the likes of Beyonce, who didn't like the competition. And as a result, she became like a second class person within Roc Nation, and they were going to drop her and they were going to end her career, which is when Rihanna goes independent. So Rihanna doesn't have any owners.
By the way, sorry to stop you right now, but breaking news that President Trump just won the Nevada caucuses and accumulates every single delegate, which is 26 delegates. This just happened about a minute ago, and this would be the third, right? Caucus,
the Iowa, third one, Iowa,
New Hampshire,
and Nevada. And now we're due for South Carolina.
Yes.
So South Carolina next caucus.
Three out of four.
That is historical. There is no candidate in history that has ever done that. And I just think that it's a sign of good things to come for 2024.
I don't know how much they're going to, you know, what they're going to throw at us. But, you know, one thing for sure is that we don't have COVID right now. I don't think that COVID or something like it will be thrown at us before.
It's still February.
The
year is still young. I keep on reminding
you. The night is young and full of terrors.
This time, 2020, things were normal. People were vibing. They were chilling.
No. Yes, by this point, that COVID had already been identified. COVID. Yeah. No, that we hadn't closed down. And I remember specifically because I went to Tulum 1 week before they closed down the airports. And I went to Tulum like the second week of February. And that was the last time I traveled out of the country until like 2022. And it was like the third week of February when they shut everything down and a fucking world changed and they stole the election and it was horrific. And here we are now just suffering. So sorry.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, that's that, guys.
We had a great idea for a show. And we might do it in the upcoming weeks. We're just going to have a show where everybody that has beef with us can just call in. And you guys can just beef with us live on air. We can just do that. And we'll probably have to do it on Rumble because for sure Linda's going to be ready to scrap. But we're going to set it up. And then, you know, all of our enemies can just call in. No, not Linda. Not Linda. All of our enemies can just call in and they can settle their beef with us. You know, whether it's the RP bros, Black Pill bros, the egg lady on True Social has been mad at me for 3 days.
Yes, absolutely. And once again, guys, we are self-funded. So any contributions would be great. We have our PayPal at the bottom. Tomorrow, I'm going to upload this also on Apple, right? On our stream. I forgot the name of this. Buzzsprout. So if you want to catch it on audio, you can as well. But thank you for being with us tonight, and we will see you next week.
Thank you guys for joining. See you next week.